And there was a storm and the boat was taken somewhere. They did not know where they are. And there was another storm and the boat sunk. And these three people swam to an island. They looked around and there is nobody, absolutely nobody. But they were happy because they had plenty fruits, eggs, and clean water. But after 3 days, one of them said, "I'm homesick. I want to go home." The other two said, "No, there is nobody here. And no even if an aeroplane will fly above, they cannot see us because of the trees. We are doomed here." The second man said, I miss my business. I must be back in my business." The other two said, "No, we are doomed here. Nobody will find us." The third person said, "Next Monday, I will be home." The other two people said, "How you will be home next Monday?" He said, "You don't understand, I'm a Christian." The other two said, "You are a Christian, but how it is going to help you to reach home?" He said, "You don't understand. I go to church every Sunday." The other two said, "How it is going to help you?" He said, "You don't understand. I make $1 million a month." And the other two said, "How it is going to help? Your money is back in Missouri. You are here in the an island and nobody knows where you are." He said, "You don't understand. I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. I make $1 million every month. And I pay my tithe. And because my pastor will not find me next Sunday, he will find me somewhere. I'll be back home on Monday." So, it is good to pay your tithe faithfully. You want to hear another joke? Invite me back. I bring greetings from my family. I'm married. I don't look that old enough to be married. But I'm married. I had an early marriage. I have one wife and... Yeah, right. I have one wife and five children. Five? No, six children. I make a mistake all the time. I have five children of mine own, and we have a foster girl. So we have six children. And I was born in South India, extreme South India. My parents are from Eastern Orthodox Church. It's like the Catholic Church. My father was an extremely religious man. Not born again, but religious man. We conduct family prayer every evening. And I wanted to be a good boy. But I had a problem. I could not be a good boy. I was fighting. I was stealing money from my dad's jacket. And I was making my mother sad. I did not know what to do. I wanted to be a good boy. So my mother told me that you can be an altar boy, helping the pastor, the priest, in the holy place. And I went there thinking that the holy place of the church will change me. But it did not. I became a very bad boy. So at the age of 15, I ran away from home. In India, people don't run away from their homes because it is a land of unemployment. But I ran away from home at the age of 19. And I thought I will go to Bombay and I will get a job. But I went to Bombay. I could not get a job because I did not know any job. And then I joined the army. In India, somebody will join the army when he cannot get a job anywhere else. And because I was handsome, they accepted me. Because I was tall, they accepted me. It is very difficult to get into the army in India. But I got into the army. Army gave me more bad habits. I was smoking. I was drinking. I was smoking 120 Camel cigarettes a day. After my marriage, my wife said like this, "Kissing my husband is like licking an ashtray." 120 cigarettes. And I was drinking from morning to night. And I needed money. I was not an officer. I was a private. I needed money for my bad habits. So I started to steal things from the army store and sell it in the black market. I was a bad, bad boy. And my parents decided to straighten me up. So they arranged a marriage for me with a praying girl. That is how they do in India. So I'm married to a girl I did not like. Now in India we don't have dating. We have only arranged marriages. And believe me, it works. You may not believe me, but it works. Do you know what is our divorce rate? Maybe 1 out of 7,000. Don't ask me whether everybody is happy or not. I was not. I wanted to marry a tall girl. Somebody will walk with me to the market. But she was a plain, short girl. My parents picked her up. And we started to fight. You understand what is fighting? No. You cannot understand. You eat a lot of ice cream. How you can fight? But we eat a lot of green pepper. So we know how to fight. We were fighting. After 5 years of fight, no children. We could not. My wife could not become a mother. After 5 years of married life, I'm in Kashmir, up in north, on the Himalayas. I went to my office. I'm a typist in the office. I came back in the evening, and my wife was standing there with a beautiful smile. I said, "What do you want?" She said, "There's a tent meeting. Let us go there." I said, "What is a tent meeting?" She said, "A preacher has come from Pakistan, and he's preaching the gospel." So I went there to make her happy. You can read my story in the book outside. And also there will be a bookmark. You can take a bookmark, keep it in your Bible, and pray for us. We need your prayer. As you will hear my story, you will understand how important is prayer support. And to make her happy, I went to the church, to the tent. And I heard the gospel for the first time when I was 29 years old. And I liked it. But I did not like the preacher because he was calling me, "You sinner." And after some time he'll come back and say, "You sinner." So I did not like him. So I walked out of the church angry at the preacher. And next day my wife said, "Let us go to the tent meeting." I said, "Lily, once a year is enough. We will go next year." She started to cry. I said, "Don't cry, we will go." And as she was getting ready, she said, "I have stomach pain, I cannot go. Can you go alone, please?" To make her happy, I made the mistake of going to that tent meeting for the second night. I sat at the back bench, you know, the first time comer. I sat at the back bench and I heard the preacher preaching. The first day he preached John 1:12. The second day he was preaching from Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone," I like that phrase, "anyone," included me. And when he finished his message, I did not want to go and shake hands with him. So I took a side door and I went out. I got into a military vehicle. I was sitting there. The vehicle was fully packed. And I was sitting there, holding my head in my hands and crying. I was under conviction. I did not know what to do. I realized that I'm a sinner. From my childhood, sin always attracted me. And I started to cry. And I heard the preacher's voice. Preacher's voice. I don't know whether I heard it here or here. I heard it. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you will let me come in, I will come in and give you a new heart." I wanted to have a new heart. Heaven never attracted me. Hell never frightened me. But I wanted to have a new heart that will not make my mother cry, that will not make my father sad, that will not make my wife upset. I wanted to get a new heart that will not smoke, that will not drink, that will not gamble. So sitting in that military vehicle, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That was 1st October 1971, about 43 years back. My life became totally changed. Amazingly dramatic change. All my bad habits, the chains were broken. I was so happy when the vehicle stopped. I jumped out of the vehicle. I ran home. I knocked on the door. My wife opened the door for me. I looked at her and I stood there for 2-3 minutes looking at her. She said, "Why are you staring at me like that?" I said, "You are pretty." She thought I am drunk, because I never said that before. She said, "What happened to you?" I told her, "I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior today." She said, "No, I won't believe it." God can't, this is what exactly what she said. She said, "I believe that God can change a rock, but not you." I said, "Lily, I tell you the truth." I entered the room. We held our hands together, knelt on that concrete floor, and we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts and home. Our lives were changed. My story number, I have many stories. My story number 321. The next one. Not joke, story. My wife went to the kitchen to fix the dinner for me. I was so happy. I said, "Lily, let me go to the neighbor and talk about Jesus." She said, "Do you know what time it is?" I said, "It's 10 p.m. Now in Kashmir, where we were living, there was no electricity. So the people will go to sleep by 8:30. I said, "I know he's sleeping, but I'm a sergeant and he's a private. I can go and wake him up." So I went to his door, knocked on the door. He opened the door. I walked in and I shared the gospel. I said, people ask me, "What did you share? You are a Christian only for 2 hours. That's right. Do you know, I said to him 4 points. Even now, that is what I am preaching, 4 points. Point number one, I was a sinner. Point number two, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Point number three, he changed my life. Point number four, what he did for me, he can do for you. He thought I am drunk. He said, "Sergeant, it is late in the evening. Why don't you go and sleep? Tomorrow morning, everything will be all right." But next day morning, it was not all right. It was worse. I wanted to share about Jesus to somebody every hour. I became an instant preacher. I went to the street. I shared about Jesus. I went to the army office where I was working. During the lunchtime, I stood on the table, and I preached about Jesus Christ. We are not supposed to do it in India. You are not supposed to be too religious. But I became a preacher. My next story. After 3 months, the December, Christmas week, after my conversion, I was taking my wife for a walk through the Himalaya mountains. One day we will go by this way and come back this way. Next day we will go by this way and come back this way. Like that. During the Christmas week, I was sitting on a mountain rock with Lily, holding our hands together, and then we were singing. I remember one song, "The Rock of Ages Cleft for Me." And then all of a sudden I felt the presence of God. I was engulfed under the blanket of the Holy Spirit. And I said, and Lily started to pray. And when she was praying, I opened my eyes and I looked at the mountains, blue mountains. And I saw a fire. I saw another fire. I saw another fire. There were 50, 60, 70 fires. I said, "Lily, stop your prayer. Do you see those fires?" She said, "We see them every day." I said, "No, that is not what I'm talking." I said, "Lily, there is a... See, in the daytime, you cannot see the people living there. But in the evening, they will be cooking their food in the open if it is not raining." So I was seeing their cooking fires. I said, "Lily, behind every fire there is a family of 15, 20 people. She said, "We know that." I said, "No, that is not what I am talking." I said, "Lily, we are going to celebrate Christmas next week. But those people living there, they never heard that there was a Christmas." She said, "How they will hear? Who will climb those mountains?" I said, "I'm healthy. Let me go." She was frightened. She knew that if I will go, I will get killed and she will become a widow. She said, "No, I don't want you to go. You are a missionary. You are already preaching the gospel to the soldiers. I'm a teacher. I can talk about Jesus to the students. Let us be missionaries without becoming missionaries." I said, Lily, but what about those people living on those mountains? The world had been celebrating Christmas for the last 2,000 years, but they never heard even once there was a Christmas. Lily, how they will hear if somebody will not go? Should not they hear at least once that there was a Christmas? I took her hand, I started to squeeze it, and I repeated that question. Lily, should not they hear at least once there was a Christmas? She started to cry. She said, yes, they have a right to hear at least once there was a Christmas. If you will go, I will come with you. Looking at those cooking fires, in the Christmas week of 1971, myself and my wife, we dedicated our lives to become preachers to those who never heard that there was a Christmas. Reaching the unreached at any cost. I'm asking a question. Should not they hear at least once that there was a Christmas? Do you know the gospel is being preached to the 20% of the people of the world? 80% of the people are left out. Should not they hear at least once? How they will hear if somebody will not go? I resigned my job. My wife rejected her job. And we selected a place in Kashmir, a Hindu pilgrim center. My next story. We decided to go there. My father is a rich man. And I had money in the bank. I was planning to buy a house. So I had money, cash. We don't take loans in India. It doesn't work. We must have pay cash. So I had money in the bank. And then when I left the army, I got some more money. I thought, what should I do? I had an encounter with Jesus. And I decided that I will go to my promised land, my mission field, with an empty pocket. I gave away every penny I had, all the money I had. I wrote checks after checks after checks in one night. And next day morning, I did not have even 10 cents. Amazing, next just unbelievable story. I was waiting for the bus. I did not have the bus fare. I had my bags, 7 or 8 bags, books, gospels, tracts, our belongings. I did not have the bus fare. Then I saw the bus coming. I showed my hand. The bus stopped. I asked my wife to go into the bus. I did not have the bus fare. I started to put our belongings on top of the bus with the help of another sergeant, another soldier, a believer. I put everything and I was coming back down from the top of the bus. I did not have the bus fare. I came and said bye to my friend. I said, Chaco, his name is Chaco, bye, we will meet some other time. He hugged me. And he gave something in my hands. I looked. It was Indian money. I had the bus fare. God did not let me down. I do not know what should have happened if he did not give me the money. I do not know. When I landed in my promised land, I had 42 Indian dollars, 42 rupees. I rented a room for 40 rupees for a month. And I purchased 1 liter milk for 2 rupees. I was broke. I fell flat on the concrete floor. And I said to God, God, if you will give me money, I will eat. Otherwise, I die here. I will not go back to South India, which is well Christianized. I will not leave this place. I will die here if you will not feed me. You can see I did not die. On the 6th month, I baptized 18 people. You may think 18 is a small number. But nobody, I'm telling you the truth. You may think that I'm bragging on myself. No. Believe me, I don't do that. Nobody ever baptized 18 people in that state in their lifetime. But on the 6th month, I baptized 18 people. On the 7th month, 18 people. On the 8th month, 18 people. And on the 9th month, I baptized 56 people. I got the largest church. Now, I was in trouble. In this country, if a pastor will baptize a few people, the pastor is happy, the congregation is happy, but not in India. In India, if somebody is baptized, he will be kicked out of the house. Where will he go? He will go to the house of the pastor. So it will be the responsibility of the pastor's wife to feed him. So we were in trouble. And we were also in trouble. Where will we meet? We did not have a church building. In India, you cannot work without a church building. We have caste system. A man from the upper, it will take hours to explain it. A man from the upper caste, he cannot go to the house of a lower caste. A man from the lower caste, he cannot go to the house of an upper caste. So your church is very, very necessary. So how we will worship 100 people? Which house can accommodate 100 people? So we started to pray. One day I heard that there is a land for sale. My next story. There is a land for sale. I did not have any money, but I had faith. So I thought, let me go there. I talked to my wife. I said, honey, you understand? You know, we don't call our partner honey in India. We eat honey. But I'm trying to speak in your language to make you feel at home. So I went to, I talked to my wife. I said, honey, there is a land for sale. Let us go there. She was frightened. She said, no, if we will go in the daytime, people will think that we are doing some kind of witchcraft. So let us go in the night. See, we are faith people. So we went there at 10 o'clock in the night. There was a fence around. I went there. I climbed over the fence. And I told my wife, come. She's hardly 5 feet. She said, I cannot come. But she's short and thin. So I carried her and I brought over here. I said, now Lily, you pray for this land. She prayed and we were going back. Then I thought, on the way, we walked a little distance. We did not have a bicycle. We walked. I said, Lily, you stop here. She said, where are you going? I said, how I can say? I'm going for number one. You understand what is number one? You understand what is number two? Do you understand what is number three? No? Even I don't understand. I said, Lily, I'm going for number one. So I went there. I went to that ground. I wanted to do something to show to myself that I have faith. I made a hole in that ground. I buried 50 cents. And I said, Lord, this is the down payment I am making. When you will give me the rest of the money, I will buy it. Thank you, it is mine. I went back. My wife said, you took much time to do number one. I did not tell her the truth. I knew if I will tell her, she will call the ambulance to take me to the mental asylum. So I did not tell her the truth. And next day, I had another guest, Pastor Joseph. I took him there, 10 o'clock in the night, myself, my wife, and Pastor Joseph. I told to Pastor Joseph, Joseph, I bought this land last night. You bought this? Yes. How much you paid? I said, 50 cents. He said, what do you want me to do? I took a rock and I said to him, Pastor Joseph, I want you to put that foundation stone for my building. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. It is somebody's land. How I can do it? I'm going back. I said, I will not let you go. Stop there. He was so frightened, he prayed a short prayer, he laid the foundation stone. Hear me. For 5 years, I wrote letters after letters to people to help me to buy a small piece of land. Nobody helped me. But when I took that step of faith, do you know what happened? In 3 months' time, I purchased that land for a huge amount. And all the money came from India. Faith works. My next story. Which one? I have so many. So many. One day, I thought, let me go to the mountains to preach the gospel. Because the unreached people are there. I decided to go. I went there. A widow met me. She liked my message. She accepted the Lord. And she said, Pastor Varghese, can you come once in a month? I said, I will come. Next month, I went there. And then, her children thought, I was visiting that village to meet their mother. They misunderstood me. They chased me. I was running away. And when I was running away, I fell on the ground. Because I was hungry. I fell on the ground. I wanted to write a parting note to my wife. I knew I will not escape. They are coming with weapons to kill me. And if they will kill me, nobody will find me. It is on the Himalayas. There is no police. There is nothing. I will be lost. They will throw my dead body into the river. Nobody will find me. I took a book I was reading, written by Oswald J. Smith. This is my story. I wrote on the last page, and I said, I may die here. My body may be thrown into the forest. Nobody will find me. My wife will become a widow in her 20s, early 20s. And my son may become a fatherless boy before he will celebrate his second birthday. But I am willing to lay my hands, my life. Lord, give me one soul for each drop of my blood. I am willing to die. God did a miracle. He helped me to flee. It is a great miracle. He helped me to flee. God did not let me die. But I asked for one soul for each drop of my blood. Do you know what has happened? In the last 42 years, we have baptized 200,000 people all over North India because of my simple prayer. God honors our consecration and prayer. My next story, which one? So many. Which one? Once I was again in another mountain ridge, very tall Himalayan. You have to walk. And I did not have jungle boots. I'm walking with a normal canvas shoes. Very hard. I went to a village. I was brushing my teeth in the evening. I saw smoke coming from the next mountain. I asked the people there, people are there? They said, oh, you travel to the next mountain. The next mountain, people are there. Wherever there is good soil. I said, I'm going there. They were frightened. They said, this is the winter season. And the snow is falling. When the snow is falling, the bear, it will come from the top mountains to the lower mountains. And we got report that the bear has attacked two shepherds last week. So it is not safe for you to go. Don't go. I said, I saw the smoke. I got the signal. I'm going. They were frightened. So next day morning, I got up. I took my bag. And I started to walk. I started to climb the mountain. I was frightened. I thought there could be a bear hiding behind every tree. Pine tree. I was frightened. I don't get frightened. I've got, you know, maybe my mind set up or army training. I don't get frightened. But that day I was frightened. I was seeing bear behind a very tree. And I thought, if a bear will come, what will I do? I don't have any weapon. It will kill me. I was frightened. And I cried out, Jeez, Jeez, Jeez. And immediately, I'm climbing. I'm emotional. I saw somebody walking with me. I looked there. I looked at the feet, bare feet. The cassock. I knew it could be Jesus. I did not have the spiritual stamina I have right now at that time. I did not dare to look up at him. I thought if I will look up at him, he may just disappear. So, I was enjoying walking with Jesus, we two. The fear went away. I was looking at his feet. We were walking together. And immediately, it was a tall mountain. It would have taken me at least 2 hours to reach the top of that mountain. Then, do you know, in maybe 15 steps, I was on top of the mountain. And then, in another 5 steps, I was at the bottom of that mountain. I looked up at my I did not look at Jesus. I said to Jesus, Jesus, we are there. Then I looked, he was gone. When I needed him the most, he walked with me on the Himalayas. It was not an angel. It was Jesus. I know one thing. I may not be, I never saw Jesus face to face, but I saw his feet once. What I'm trying to tell you is that maybe you never had that wonderful experience, but still believe that you are not alone. He's with you. My next story. In 1977, I started my Bible school. A young man came from Orissa, that is Central East India, the tribal belt. He came and he started to talk about people who have no clothes. I said, in India or Africa? In India. People with no clothes? Yes, they will be walking to the market. They will be walking to the government offices with no clothes, only loin clothes. I said, I cannot believe it. I prayed and sent him after training to his area. Then after 3 months, I went over there. I'm not a person who is sitting behind the desk and running a mission. I'm a worker. I'm there with them. I go there, I personally. So I went there. I saw, you will not believe it, I saw women walking without anything on top. I came back and told this story to my wife. She said, I would like to go with you. My children, they said, we would like to go with you. So in 1981, myself, my wife and 4 children, we went over there. We went to the bus terminus. And we hired a taxi. You understand a taxi? Maybe not. It is a bullock cart. It is an ox cart. Do you know what is an ox? The husband of cow. That is ox. It's an ox cart. We rented an ox cart and we traveled 15 miles in 8 hours. We walked. Myself and another pastor, we walked. Lily and the children, they were in the bullock cart. We went there. We built a grass house for $1 American. 50 Indian rupees. We lived there for 2. No floor, no window, no doors. Mosquitoes. Very bad. 2 months. We were going to different villages, preaching there for 2 days, coming back, going to another village, preaching for 3 days. It was like that. And we were drinking water from the river. And we had scabies. We were suffering. After 2 months, we came back. Sitting in the train, I thought, what did I do with my children? Now they were having boils all over their body. And they became skinny. Why I did that? Not even one person came to the Lord. Not even one. There were miracles after miracles, great miracles, but not even one person came to the Lord. I was sad. I thought I wasted my time. But after 10 years, I went to the same place. We had more than 175 pastors. And we have baptized thousands of people. And one day I was speaking to the pastors, then I thought I did not waste my time. It was good that 10 years back I came here and I preached the gospel, we suffered. Then the pastor's seminar was over. My senior pastor asked me, there is a half-finished church. Would you like to go there and dedicate it? I said, it will be a thrill for me. Let us go. So in the evening we got a vehicle, a jeep, old jeep. And I got into the jeep and the senior pastor filled the jeep with several young men. Do you know why? Because the vehicle will stop at different places. We needed people to push it. So we went to that village. They were giving the final touch to that building. And was standing there and crying. I said, Lord, what a privilege you gave me. I don't know any other mission in India. I'm not bragging. I don't know any other mission that got a wonderful privilege like I got. Thank you. It was not a waste that I came here 10 years back. Thank you, Jesus. I was crying. I easily cry. And then the senior pastor came. He saw me crying. He said, "You recognize this place?" I said, "No." He said, "Look around." I said, "Sahu, I don't recognize this place." He said, 10 years back, we two walked on the same road. And your wife and four children, they were sitting in that bullock cart. We passed this road." I said, "It's right." Then he said like this, "Pastor Varghese, not only that we walked on the same road, we stopped the bullock cart in 7 villages to have a cup of water from a hut." And he said, "In every village we stopped the bullock cart, there is a church. And from every house from where we had a glass of water, there is a full-time worker." I said, "Lord, I'm willing to go again." And he told me, "Don't stop." I did not stop. He said, "Pastor Varghese, where we stayed in that house of $1 American, now there is a revival going on and there are 22 churches around. Why it happened? Somebody sent me. Somebody sponsored me. And we went. I'm asking you, will you send me again?" I wanted to go again. I said, "God, I'm willing to go again." I called my leader and I said, "Tell me the next place I would like to go again with my wife." He said, "Baripada, Baripada. You heard that name, but you forgot. That is where the Australian missionary Graham Staines lived. And that is where he was martyred on 21st of January 1999. I said, "I'm willing to go there." He said, "It's very dangerous. He was martyred." I said, "I will go." And myself and my wife, we went there. We rented a room for one month. We stayed there. And we went to the same place where Graham Staines was martyred. My wife stood there on Saturday night, on the same place, where same spot where he stood and preached the last message. My wife preached there on Saturday night. And Sunday morning, so many people came, there was no accommodation in the mud building. So we moved to the outside. After some time, somebody came and told me, "All the non-Christians are marching." That is where Graham Staines was martyred on 21st January night by 250 men. Now they are marching again. I was not frightened. I'm not a hero, don't misunderstand. I'm a person like you. I stood there. I preached. And all the 250, about 500 people came. They sat there. There's no microphone. And I preached the gospel. "Who is my God? He's a savior. Who is my God? He's my healer. Who is my God? He goes with me wherever I go." I preached. And when I finished, all these 500 people stood in two lines so that I may pray and my wife may pray. And finally, the priest of the Hindu temple came and stood there. He came to me and said, "I'm a sinner. We should have honored that Australian missionary. But instead of honoring him, we killed him. Will you pray for me? I'm a sinner." I had the privilege to pray for him. I was supposed to be there last week. But the government of Orissa said no foreigner can come. And we have constructed a building to honor that man. I could not go there because the government did not give me the permission. But I'm going. Without announcing, I will go there within this year sometime. I will go. Will you send me again? We constructed a church building which can accommodate the size of this church, which can accommodate 500 people. We paid the money for it. My last story. When we were, my four children and myself and my wife, we were there. One day I was told that there is a flea market, weekly flea market. I like flea market because I can find somebody who can buy a book from me, a gospel, a New Testament. So myself and my wife, we were so poor, we did not have a bicycle. So we walked over there. We stood there. We it was a flea market, full of people. They are blacker than me. So I stood there on a rock. I looked around. I became emotional. I said, "Lily, come here, stand here. Can you count the people?" She turned around and she said, "Maybe 1,000 people." I said, "Lily, I want you to look around and tell me how many women are there." She looked around and she said, "Maybe 750 women and 250 men." I said, "Lily, now turn again and see how many women have something on top." She turned. Only 3 out of 750 had something on top. I started to cry. God said, "Varghese, do you love these people?" I said, "Yes." I wanted to take a picture. I had a camera at that time. I wanted to take a picture, a good picture for my magazine. And I found a girl sitting there with a basket of groceries between her legs. She was sitting there as though she was drugged. I went close to her. I sat there. I focused my camera. And then I came back. My wife said, "You got a good picture." I said, "Not in my camera, in my heart." "What do you mean?" I said, "Lily, I forgot to click the camera." "Why?" I said, "Look at that lady. She must be 22, 23, 24, maybe 25 years old. She must be 25 years old. I said, "She's not married. The married women in India, they have a wedding ring on their nose." I said, "She's not married. Look at her. Now, excuse my language. She has nothing on top." I said, "Lily, look at her. Look at her body. She's not married. Several men should have abused her in the last 7, 8, 10 years. She was not forced." I said, Lily, she should have sold herself with great joy, so that she can buy a meal for her younger brother. Or she can get some money to take her mother to the hospital. She should have given herself the joy. And I was crying. God said, "Do you love these people?" I said, "Oh, yes, Lord, I love them." God said, "Start a church here." I said, "These people don't need a church. They want food, they want clothes, they want a house." God said, "You are wrong. Start a church here." I trained a man by name Jason and sent him over there. Then I went back. After 3 months, he sent me a letter and saying, "Varghese, something good is happening here. Can you come?" When I get a letter like that, I will rush. I will cancel all my other meetings and I will rush over there. So I went there. When I went there and preached for 3 days, on the third day, more than 35 people were baptized. When Pastor Jason was baptizing those people, I was standing there. I was dancing. I was happy because I was taking 35 people to heaven. I was happy. When the meeting was over, I came back home. After 5 years, the first time I walked. The second time, I went by bicycle. The third time after 5 years, I went there by motorbike. Somebody helped me to buy a bicycle. Somebody helped me to buy a motorbike. The third time, I went there on the motorbike. At that time, the church has grown from 35 to 600 people. It was a large church. No building. And when I reached there, the people were worshipping. You know, you are in a blessed country. But these people were worshipping. You have wonderful instruments. But they have better instruments. They were singing only one song. You have so many songs. New songs are coming every month, every day. But these people had only one song, "The Lord is my shepherd." They were singing it for 45 minutes. And they had every kind of wonderful instruments. Cooking vessels, dinner plate, glass and spoons. I saw 2 men making noise with the rocks. Cluck, 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 cluck. I saw a young man beating on his tummy and making noise. Heaven came down. I was so happy. They asked me to preach and I preached John, "The Lord is my shepherd." One of my best messages. I preached. I sat down. The elder of the church, he stood up and said, "Thank you, Pastor, for coming to our village." He said like this, "5 years back, you came to this village. At that time, no man, except one man, except the shopkeeper, no man had a pajama. A pajama is like a pants. He said, nobody had a pair of pajama. But now you look, all the men have pajamas. He said, I'm rich, I have 4 pajamas. He said, 5 years back, when you came to this village, no women had anything on top. But now you look, all the women have something on top. I looked, everybody had something on top. He said, 5 years back, when you came to this village, no children had underclothes. Now you look, all the children have underclothes. I'm sitting in the front. I saw all the children have underclothes. And he said, 5 years back, when you came to this village, we were sacrificing our children to our Hindu gods. But after the first baptism, there is no child sacrifice in this village. He said, but our relatives, our uncles and aunties in the nearby villages, they are still walking around in their loincloths. And still they are sacrificing their children to their gods. You give us heaven twice, here and there. How it happened? Because somebody sent me and somebody sent Pastor Jason to that village. One more story. Excuse me if I am crossing the time limit. There is a river called Ganges. You can go home and look at the river Ganges on the website. Ganges. I like that river very much. I have a friend in St. Joseph, Missouri, Pastor Brian Sand. 5 years back, myself and Pastor Sand, we went over there, we stayed there, we had a boat journey through the Ganges. I like that river. Because whenever I go there, the bird in my heart, it will rise to higher level. Some years back, I went there, from where that river starts. I saw people standing there, asking for forgiveness of sins. Do you know, in Hindu religion, there is no forgiveness of sin. I saw men lying on nail bed, iron nail bed. They are lying there, paying penalty for the sins they have committed. I saw men sitting in a circle of fire. They make a circle of fire, ring of fire. And they will sit in the middle of that. They will have boils, blisters all over their body. I saw a man standing there with his hands raised for 14 years. He never brought it down. I saw another man standing there with one leg up, holding a rope. He will never sit down. People paying the price for their sins. I saw people going into the river, drinking water and crying. Then I was talking to a man from Germany about Jesus. Then I saw a couple, unbelievable story. Far away from me, near to the river Ganges, near to the water. Though I was talking to this man, his name is Nelson. Though I was talking to Nelson, I was seeing that couple, a couple from the mountains. From their hair, from their clothes, I knew that they are from the mountains. I saw them. And when I was talking to them, I was looking at them. There was something different. You know, there are about 500 people. In that crowd, I was seeing them, something different. I could not see their face. They were turned to the other side. The setting sun, they were looking at the river. They were looking at the setting sun. And I was talking to this when I saw them. The woman was feeding the baby. And the husband was standing next to her, looking at the baby, staring at the baby. As I was looking at them, talking to this man, I saw the husband plucking the baby from the bosom of the mother. And he started to kiss the baby on both the cheeks. And gave the baby to the mother. And the mother gave a long kiss. I could not hear it, but I heard it in my spirit. A long kiss. Ooh. Then the husband plucked the baby from the mother. And as I looked, he lifted the baby and threw the baby into the river. The baby was gone. I saw the body of a 6 or 7 month oldest boy. Naked body, making a shrieking arch in the air. Ow! And the baby was gone. Ganges is like an ocean. Nobody can retrieve it. I was emotional. I love children. I have 6 or 7 orphanages because I wanted to save as many children as I can. I ran to some others also, they also ran. But they went back because it is normal over there. I stood there next to him. I asked him a question, "Sir, why did you do that?" He did not say anything. I said, "Sir, was it a girl? It happens with girls." He said, "No, it was a boy." "Was it a cripple?" "No, it was a healthy boy." The man is talking, he's frozen. His wife is sitting there pulling her hair and crying. I said, "Are you too poor to take care of a child?" He said, "Yes, I'm a poor man. But if the child should have been living, I should have kept him like a prince." I said, "Then why did you do that?" He replied like this. 2 weeks back, Goddess Ganges appeared to my wife and demanded that we must sacrifice our children, our child, only child, so that the family will have salvation. I said, "Have you heard the name Jesus?" I saw his eyes going like this. He said, "No. In which chemist store I can buy that medicine?" He thought I'm talking about a medicine to give to his hair pulling, crying, hysteric wife. I said, "No, I'm not talking about a medicine. I'm talking about the Son of God who came from heavens to the earth to give us salvation. If we will believe in him, we don't have to give any more sacrifice. He's our sacrifice. We will have salvation." As I said that, I saw the woman sitting there, pulling her hair and crying. She raised her hands like this towards me. I saw hairs hanging on her fingers. And she said like this, "Preacher, why you did not come half an hour ago? If you should have come half an hour ago, my son should have been living. Why you are late?" For the last 3 months, I was in India. I was going from village to village. I did not go to my house. People think in India also, they think that I'm crazy. I crossed my town twice. I did not go to my house. It is not that I don't like my house. It is not that I don't love my wife. But when somebody is throwing a baby into the river, what do you want me to do? Hear me. You come and stand by the river Ganges. You stand there for an hour. You can see the body of a baby floating every hour. That means before you will reach home and have your lunch, somebody will be throwing a baby into the river Ganges. How we can stop it? Let me quote what the elder of that church said. 5 years back you came to this village. At that time we were sacrificing our children to our Hindu gods. But after the first baptism there is no child sacrifice. Church is the answer. Shall I preach? Can you give me some time to preach? 2 minutes? I think that is enough. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. I am here in this church. This is not a planned trip for me. I am on my way to Canada to preach in a conference. This is my message. Hear me. Take Mark, bring him. Give me a man. Can you sponsor a missionary in India? Verse 13. Bring the blanket that I left when you are coming, and bring the books, a blanket, a Bible. Do you know how much it costs to buy a Bible in India? $2. Maybe $3. $2. Just like Paul, I'm asking. God is my witness. I never ask for myself. I never ask for my family. I never ask for any of my personal needs. Never. But I'm asking you, can you help my brothers to go to the mission field? Can you help us to have a blanket? What is a blanket? A bicycle? A motorbike? A church building? That is the greatest need of our time right now. We need church buildings. Can you help us to have a church building? Can you help us to have a blanket? Can you help us to have a bicycle? Can you help us to have a bicycle? Verse 21. Do thy diligence to come before the winter. Try all you can to come before the winter. What is the winter? Persecution. I have the list of persecution. More than 510 of our pastors were persecuted last year. 510 attacked, threatened, houses burned. The winter, and it is coming. Do it before the winter will be on us. Will you come? Will you come? Let's pray. Will you come? Will you help me to have a blanket, a bicycle, a church building, a motorbike? Will you help me to buy a Bible? Will you save a child, a girl child? We have put a sign in front of all our church buildings. Don't kill that baby, whether boy or girl. Give that baby to us. We have that signboard in front of every church building. Help us to save a child. Help us to construct a church building. Help us to buy a blanket. Will you come? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. Thank you for the pastor for giving me the time to share my stories. Heavenly Father, I pray that you may bless this church in such a way that they will be a blessing for the world. Bless them as they obey you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Driving over, I picked Dr. Vargas up and we had lunch in Cameron. And driving, and we've never really visited. We've been in his home. We've been in their world headquarters building. But it was a group trip, so we didn't have any personal time. So it was really the first conversation that we've had. And I said, what is your greatest need? He said, we have to have buildings. So the government will not allow us any longer to meet in homes. And you heard about the caste system. You can't have people from differing castes in the same home. It just doesn't work culturally. So he said we had to divert money to start building buildings, which means we're not planting as many new churches. We can't raise up new workers because we must, because the government is going to stop us from having church in the homes. He said for $2,000, you can build a small building with a dirt floor, primitive village, and a little village. For about $4,000, you can get a little tin on the roof, maybe some concrete on the floor. For 500,000 rupees, which is maybe $9,000, we can build a concrete building, all concrete, seat about 100 people. He said, well, if that's your greatest need, then that's what we'll do. We'll help you build buildings. So we're going to take an offering this morning, and I'm really just going to challenge you. I know what last night Michelle said, what do you want to do? I said, I haven't thought about it. And then she said, well, I think we need to do something big. I said, okay. And I think it would be wrong of me to tell you exactly what I'm doing. That could be manipulative. But I'm just saying we're in, and we're going to help. We're going to do that personally. Perhaps you didn't come prepared to give in the manner in which you feel convicted to give. Well, today give the very best you can. but I propose that we take an offering quarterly to build buildings, and that would give you time for the Lord to speak to you and for you then to bring in the money. But I think we could build several $2,000 buildings. I believe we could build several $4,000 buildings. I believe we could build even some $9,000-$10,000 buildings, just as every one of us would just be obedient to do what the Lord told us to do. So I'm just going to ask you now to give. You can give, you know, obviously with a check. You can use your bank card. You can use our online giving right now if you want to. Or if you really just were not prepared, perhaps you just want to write something down and put it in the offering and say, this is what we're planning to do this year. Or maybe you just want to give some thought to that, pray about it, and let us know, and you can give in the next offering. We're going to give our first installment today, Jill and I, and we'd ask you to do the same thing. And so that's what I think we should do as a church, and let's just see what the Lord wants to do. We'll be going to India. If you want to go over and see the building that you paid for, we can make that happen for you. Or if you want to go over and see the buildings that we're building together, we can make that happen for you. If you want to go over and see what they're doing with children in the street, their Metro Children's Ministry, and they go into a different location every day. For 5 days, they have full-time workers that are reaching several thousand children every day. We can make that happen, let you see some of that. It's difficult to go to the churches because of the persecution. Michelle and I went to a few churches for about maybe 20, 30 minutes. Go in, we listen to a song, and preach a simple message, pray for a few people, and then they take you away because we wouldn't want anybody to be beaten because an American came to their church meeting in their home. And so that's a little more challenging, but there's things we can do. And if all of us do what God is speaking to us, then we could really make an absolute big impact. The part of the world where there's still hundreds of entire groups of people that have yet heard the gospel in one state, and we can help do that. Romans 10, it says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they be saved if they've never heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how can a preacher go unless someone sends him? And then it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. Michelle and I worshiped, and I got to speak to a group of missionaries, Indian missionaries, that are these persecuted pastors, these missionaries. We heard stories of how they've been beaten, how they've been put into jail, how that their wives have even been raped, how that they have to go to the police station every week. And yet they sang and they danced and they shouted and they praised God, and they lifted me up above their heads and danced around with me like I was the winning Super Bowl quarterback. And I thought, I haven't done anything. We should be lifting you up and parading you around. So I'm going to just ask if you'd help us. The end of the service, and I know we went a little long today, and no apology. But if you need Jesus today, don't leave this building without calling on the name of the Lord and being saved. If you need to be healed today, we're going to lay hands on you so that you could recover from your illness. If you're tormented in some way, then you should be free today. So we're going to take up our offering now. We're going to pray over it, and then we'll be up here. Dr. Vargas could care less about sports, let alone the Super Bowl. So you may need to go, but we have nothing else to do except to eat lunch and then watch a game that he cares nothing about later on. So we'll be here to pray for you if you need prayer. Father, we thank you for this great work that you've attached us to. We thank you for the churches that are being planted. We thank you for the souls that are being saved. We thank you for the children that are being rescued and lives that are being restored. And thank you so much for letting us be part of sending. Bless your people now as they give. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, would you...